Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Adrian Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Well, hello, friends. Another Sunday afternoon with the Weird Crew.
Mr. Brian Brushwood.
Dang, tootin', rootin', flutin'.
Oh, wait a second, Brian. What is this?
What?
You finish up the podcast, you go downstairs, the wife is gone, the kids are gone.
Already. All right, bring it.
And you notice, I don't know, maybe you reach up, you know, you notice there's like a coffee container or jar or something that's askew. And you look behind there, just curious, something catches your eye, something poorly placed, and it's a key, right? The key, and the key is to one of those self-storage places. And there's a unit number on that. And you're saying to yourself, I don't think my kids have their own storage unit.
How long... And because, first of all, this is shockingly close to reality. Bonnie went out and she, like, one day I went down to the garage and I was like, oh, there's a lot of room in here. Everything's really well organized. And then Bonnie just reveals to me, yeah, I got a storage unit. Half of our stuff is there now. I was like, oh, I guess I don't miss it. And so I've never seen this unit. She has moved it twice since she opened it a year and change ago. So this is not too far off. So I walk downstairs and there's a very conspicuous storage unit key. Says, you store it, America, on there. I mean, I guess, how long do I wait before I grab the key and consider, you know, investigating?
How long do you wait?
Yeah.
Why are you asking us?
Like I probably don't.
Brian, we're tormenting you.
I probably don't think to call anyone until 9, and then I call, and then realize at 11 that nobody's called me back. And then I call again, and I call all the kids, and then because two of them have cell phones now, and then maybe midnight or 1. God, I hate to admit it, but I probably fall asleep and then wake up the next morning really freaked out that they're not around.
No, your family's fine. I'm just you. But Bonnie's been evasive about this.
Oh, I thought you were saying they were missing, and in their stead. The aliens had left.
No.
That is horrifying, though. That you fell asleep, went to bed, and woke up the next day without checking on your family.
Look, they're very autonomous. They've got their whole thing all figured out.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
we're gonna sideline that for a moment.
I'm just going to say I have nothing but faith in my family and wife, and I believe they look, they're all better than me, even the 3-year-old. Okay, so I find
the key, and it was hidden, but it was sort of you're chasing a spider or running from a spider.
Oh, so I discover a key to a facility that I know is not the one that Bonnie went and did before. Correct. This is like another one. I'd probably ask Bonnie, but I'm guessing the scenario doesn't really allow for that. So at some point,
call up Bonnie.
All right, hold on. Beep, boop, 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 boop. In fact, let me actually call Bonnie up. No. All right. What does she say? Ring, ring. Hey, Justin, it's Brian. Are you Bonnie?
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Bonnie.
Hey, so I found this, key. It's to a storage unit. I thought we were at the Green Jeans Storage Emporium.
I think phone's breaking up. I gotta call you back. Bye.
Bonnie. Siri, call Bonnie Brushwood. Mobile or home? Mobile. We don't have a home number anymore, Siri. I heard.
Hi, this is Bonnie Brushwood. Leave a message.
I'm sending, just in case Bonnie gets another call, Bonnie's instructions.
Okay. Right.
So evasive.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if she's not going to say anything about it, I guess I'm always out on bike rides. Mm-hmm. It's close by, right? It's right here in town?
Yeah, it's close by.
Yeah, I probably just drop that key in my pocket next time I go bike riding, and I just find myself over in this area. Ooh-de-doo.
Bring, then, bring.
Hello?
Hey, Brian. It's your wife. Did you see a key by chance anywhere around there? I misplaced a key. Do you have a key? Do you know if there's a key? I was trying to find this key.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to visit our storage unit because I found this key to the storage unit.
The lease is up. You don't need to do that. I moved everything from there. I got to return the key. I'll take care of it.
I'm here right now. I'm here now. I can return it for
us. Bring me the key. Brian, just bring me the key.
No, sweetheart. Brian,
why are you arguing with me? Bring me the key now.
Okay. Click. Okay. At this point, I totally don't take the key to her. Okay. I go to the guy, and I was like, and I'm like, hey, my wife said we need to return this key. And then he, I assume, tells me in this scenario that the lease is not up, that we're still paid up.
2 years on this lease.
Ooh. Well, let's say I use my personal teleporter. And I go bloop, 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 bloop. And I teleport Justin away from the middle of the podcast he's in the middle of. And he's right there next to me.
No,
and
I'm Brian, like, this is this afternoon. This is after the show.
Okay. All right. Whatever. I'm going to go open the damn thing. Of course.
Okay. So you go open up the door, swing it open. And there's, I don't know, maybe a dozen oil drums.
Oil drums?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly this is a mistake. Are they labeled?
No, they're just big metal drums, steel drums. They're not actually filled with oil, but they're 50.
Turns out it's actually a Jamaican band banging on steel drums.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cast of Stomp.
No, I mean, they're all sealed, right? Like I knock on them and they go dong, 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 and
there's something in there.
Liquid?
It's just something in there. I mean, it's hard to tell. You'd have to open it to find out.
Sloshing around. Do I have a tool? Do I have access to tools?
Yeah, there's a crowbar there.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, all right. I'm going to take this crowbar. I'm going to go up to the first one, just kind of chunk, 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 put it in. I assume my phone is ringing because Bonnie's calling again. I'm going to creak back and pop off that lid. And before I even look, I'm going to smell. Wait, do I smell anything weird?
Oh, yeah, you're smelling something decaying.
Like that sickly sweet roadkill smell?
Mm-hmm.
Because I experienced that a lot riding my bike. All right, I'm going to look over forward. What do I see?
You look inside, and you see some reddish blondish hair.
No!
And...
like in a soup or just... just kind
of just there, just no, just sort of. There's not soup, just this hair. It's a body, and it's a face that you see every day when you look in the mirror, but a little bit more decayed, but part of his skull sort of caved in.
So I find my own body
brutally murdered, Brian.
Okay, now hear me out here. Okay, I'm going to assume one could be a fluke because...
you allowed one free dead Brian body. It's a fluke, Bonnie.
Well, mainly because, like I stumbled across, like, I mean, there's only so many types of facial structures, so many types of skin tones, so many types of hair or whatever. I'm gonna assume, like, maybe it just happens to look like me. Like, at this point, I know something's messed up. But I'm not going to jump to the conclusion that...
Wait, hold on. Inner monologue here that is the voice of your co-host, Justin Robert Young. Wait, you're rooting for her to be a murderer and not for you to be, like, the latest in a line of clones?
She's a murderer either way. And the less horrific version is the one where at least she's murdering strays. Or people she doesn't know.
Wait, really?
Okay, look, in the great list of things I could choose from for my wife to murder someone she doesn't know and for her to murder me, I'm going to hope that she's going to murder someone we don't know. Is that outrageous?
You can make the point that she created you.
No.
Not, maybe you aren't a human. Maybe you are some simulacrum that is posing as humanity and death is not what you might think it is. Maybe the organic matter that she is melting down will then be poured into a soup and you will be regenerated with everything, all your memories, all your hopes, all your dreams, except for that one thing that she snips out where she murders you because, you know, you've gotten out of line.
Well, if that sounds so delicious to you, why don't you get in the goddamn drum? I'm going to hope that she murdered a stranger who tried to sexually molest her, and she was like, no. And she's like, I'm going to take this body and put it in a steel drum. And also, the cops might come, so I'm going to confuse them with a bunch of other steel drums. They're all empty. They'll never find him in there.
Listen, well, man, my name's Paul, and this is between y'all. Inner monologue out turns into a bat.
So, Brian.
Yeah?
You're looking down at your body. Your part, your skull kind of caved in.
Wait, can I pop open another one? I just want to know.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, all right. Let's press pause. Time out on alpha here. Let's go to beta. Ding, 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 ding. Boop, pop. What do I see?
You see another body looks a lot like you.
Son of a bitch.
Skull's not caved in this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inner monologue's back. Told you so. Like, I don't want to be a dick about this. I told you so. It turns back into a bat.
The throat slashed.
Okay. Let me just pop open a third one.
Bullet hole to the temple.
Okay, look, these are all fairly...
Three strikes, you're out at the old clone game.
I mean, at this point, I'm just really hoping to see an obvious cancerous tumor on one of them. Or like Marlboro's still in his hands and he died from that. Or his fist clutched over his heart like Fred Sanford or something. I'm just... Any natural causes is what I'm looking for. I just keep popping them open. All of the... of them?
Let's go another one where you notice that there's a label on there and it says, you know, June 22nd, 2015.
All right. At this point, I check all the labels and I see how close together those numbers are.
All right. And sometimes they're 4 months apart. Sometimes they're 8 months apart.
Okay. Here, decision time. Hey, Siri, call my inner monologue.
Oh, now you want to talk. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you file the police report for the drifter that your wife murdered when she was...
All right, hang up. Siri, forget inner monologue. He's an asshole. Let me call outer monologue. I'm going to call Andrew Maine. Andrew, remember that scenario you gave me today?
Oh yeah,
it's 3 hours later and it's exactly come true. It totally happened.
What? Oh yeah. My god, Brian. So are there dates on the drums?
Yeah, no, they're anywhere from 3 to 4 months apart. They all look
dates
like
mean
me.
Anything to you?
What's that? I
mean, like, the dates mean anything. Read me one of the dates.
June 22nd.
That's interesting. So like you didn't do any podcasts, I think, on the 23rd, you know? I think that you told me the next, like, a day or two later, all you did was play Hearthstone or something like that. In fact, you didn't take any calls that night or the next day.
Man, now that I think about it, I don't really remember much from that day.
Yeah. What about another day?
Well, I mean, this one here says August 17th.
Yeah, remember, it was in, I think, your family. You said your family was out of town. You were home alone. All you did was just watch... You know, House of Cards, which you'd already seen, but you watched it again.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like me. That's a really out of character for me to do. This one says November 17th.
Oh, gosh. Neil Bryan, I remember. November 17th. You were just playing like Call of Duty, but like not the newest version or something. You just replayed an old game.
All right. Beep. That's clearly a replicant. Kill Andrew Maine. They're all devils. Man, at this point, I gotta admit, in this scenario, like my one thing is to talk to anyone, literally anyone, the farthest removed from this whole situation. I don't even know that I would call either of you two guys. I would call.
Can't call me. I'm in your head. I pop in whenever I want.
Inner monologue. Get off. I cast a spell called locked doors.
Well, I cast a spell called these nuts.
Oh, damn it. Oh. All right. Look, I'm stuck with you, inner monologue. What should I do?
Well, okay. Can we? All right. So we can agree, and we can figure out later who is totally right and who is totally wrong. But like that you are a series of clones. You are
I'm gonna admit it looks very likely at this point.
So there's two things that you need to do. Number one, you need to ensure that you are the last of them, and you need to understand Bonnie's reasoning for doing this. You need to get clarity on where you are in life.
Well, hold on. Ensure that I'm the last of them sounds like I need to go look in our attic, and if I see a clone generation facility, I need to kill all of my brothers. Let's just say hypothetically that's what I'm about to discover.
Maybe in the back of the storage room you find, you know...
Damn it, it's right here!
There's a freezer.
How many other Bryans are there?
You know, there's like, maybe there's like, you know, two or three freezers there, and you open up the freezer and there's a big foil package.
How cooked are they?
So you they're in like, they're wrapped like a Capri Sun, you know. But you know there's something in there. So you unzip the thing and you see this sort of this gelatinous version of you with like tubes going through the nose and stuff, and you realize that it's actually kind of aging at the same rate as you are.
So, okay, so he's fully cooked. Like, is he ready to decant? Is it like...
Yeah, there's like a pull tab that's like pull to...
Yeah, she probably just throws him in the microwave for 15 seconds, leaves it out to defrost. All right.
Now you're talking my language. Okay, all right. First thing, if there's one MF-er I'm going to trust, it's me. So I pull that tab, and we're going to ask me for advice on this situation.
Wait, what? Really?
I'm gonna cook him up. But the thing is,
you notice there's like some sort of mesh like cap on his head, you know?
Oh, like maybe he doesn't have all his memories
implanted. I mean, she's got the new firmware.
Brian pulled the tab, and Brian's now got this.
Ah, doggone it.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Okay, so here's. Okay. Cut to
I am Batman.
Cut to a montage of me teaching this proto Brian how to ride a bike.
Ain't gonna work.
Oh, damn it. I just want to send him home in place of me.
Because you need something to program that brain. You've got to make a copy of your head and put it in his head minus a day. And that hasn't happened yet, because every time Brian hypothetically gets murdered, you've got to transfer those memories and stuff in there.
Oh, so there's no multiple copies.
No,
it's physical copies.
You
make, number one, Bonnie presumably has a backup of the time that you were made whole, right? If you are the latest in a line of clones, that means that she has somewhere, even if it's your own head.
Yeah, well, Brian, take your hand.
Yep.
Touch the back of your skull.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a little bump in the back there?
You know what? Now that you mention it, I always thought that was a bug bite. I thought it was one of those metal injecting bugs that like they bite you and they implant like a.
Seriously, do you feel like a bump there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, now I feel it. It feels a little bit like a Sprite bottle cap, and I feel like I could twist it off. And crap! This is a memory implant, Jack, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah. Could be.
Problematic. Okay, look, let's just do this. I don't know how if I were to roll for my intelligence, would it come up high enough that I could copy myself to this new vessel?
I mean, you'd have to carve that thing out of the back of your skull and unplug it from you.
Ooh, yeah, that's not happening. Okay. At this point, I'm going to assume. Now, here's the thing. I understand. I've watched enough sci-fi movies to know that it might be possible that clones don't last forever, and this is a kind, you know, gentle gesture to end me before I end myself, but I don't know that at this point, so it's like I'm looking for a way to burn this whole damn thing down. Is there anything flammable? Can I burn this whole thing down?
I mean, you're in the middle of a storage unit. You could set all the other ones on fire.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. Okay with that.
What is your goal of burning this down, Brian?
I mean, to make me the only Brian in the universe, and therefore the most valuable to anyone who cares about Brians, presumably my wife.
We've seen how somebody cares about Brians when you look in those drums.
That's fine. Let then, you know what? Maybe just me. Check those dental records. They're all identical. Go ahead. Brian's dead. You don't know if he's here or gone. You can't count all these bones in this burned down garbage.
Inner monologue. Timeout. Inner monologue. Timeout.
I am.
Wait. So wait, your end goal is to preserve your marriage at this point?
No. My end goal is to preserve my life. Either A, by confusing whoever's cooking up all these copies of me into thinking that I'm dead, or
spoiler
B,
alert, your wife. She's spoiler alert. Yeah. So listen, all of that is inconsequential if you either put Bonnie in prison or put Bonnie in the ground.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'm burning down the whole storage unit.
What does that do?
I am. Get out of here. I hate your logic and I'm not listening to it. I'm not going to kill my wife, even though she's murdered me countless of times before.
No, and then put her in prison.
No,
no. Call the cops.
Who's going to? Okay, look. All right. I am. I appreciate where you're coming from. And you're right. In a lot of situations, it would be.
You found.
Yes.
Proof.
Okay. Look.
Her
all
name
right.
is on a storage facility with rotting corpses in it.
Time out. Practical talk here. You realize if Bonnie goes to prison, I have to get up at 5:30 every freaking morning to take those kids to the bus stop. She drives all the way downtown with Penny every single day.
Are you ready for the next?
All right. Time out. I am. Andrew Maine's on the line.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, you got my message about all these bodies, right?
Yeah. You know, Brian, it's weird. You know, you sent me this key for your storage unit and told me to only give it to you in case of an emergency, which I thought was weird. But this is a different storage unit. This is something Bonnie got, not the one you rented.
Hold on. what does your key say?
Well, it's storage.
Because this one here says Storage America number one, the best. Totally an American company since 1997.
What unit is that?
275.
Oh, this one says 274. Check your key ring. You might have an extra key there.
Hold on. Let me take a look. Oh, I do have an extra king. Key. And a king. All right.
You've got to put.
I gotta go. Wait. Okay, so I go next door. I open up 274, and I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, let it be a bunch of Bonnies. so that I can just rule out, like, maybe there's some other sinister force
you
besides
open up
my
your
wife.
First drum?
Yeah?
Bonnie's got a bullet in her head.
Okay.
I'll never kill my wife.
And you're like, oh my God, I'm in a mashup of the Sixth Day and Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Okay, so at this point, I mean, there can't be another one of these units with my kids all in there. Like, are we all?
Brian.
What's that?
You're not monsters, Brian.
Okay, no, well, hold on. Because Bonnie knew about this storage thing. Does she know about the other one?
You know, okay. When the key got brought up, she got very irrational and she was all of a sudden worried about that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, Cap, we mentioned your key.
So here's the thing, is it seems like at this point, there's clearly something bigger than me happening. I don't want to just call her up or show up or, and you know, have her find out where I am or whatever. Son of a gun. I guess, maybe I go to I got to feel like, at any minute, black helicopters are coming. So I'm gonna hop on my bike and pedal away, and buy a burner phone.
This is the right move because now you know that there is, there's literally blood on both sides, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Brian, hypothesize. So imagine, you know. Violent argument between you and your wife. Violent argument, right? I'm not going to say who threw the first punch. I'm not going to say how that happened. But let's say, you know, you're looking down at her dead, cold body on the floor. And you're like, oh, my God. Who's going to wake up at 5 a.m. to take the kids to school? Right?
Right.
And there's a knock on the door. Hey, man. You open the door. It's a guy in a suit. Like, oh, yeah, you know, you paid for your clone insurance, right? Yeah, we'll take care of this. Yeah, we'll bring her back. She'll be good as new tomorrow. And you're going to want the memory wiped, too, so you forget that you did this, right?
Wait, so Bonnie and I have been murdering each other repeatedly?
And then also, you're going to want the awesome inner monologue package, right? Like, it's just
exactly.
$5 add-on. You get
this sidetracked a little bit midway. I realized that would be the really cool twist, is you guys were actually murdering each other.
Yes. Like an O. Henry short story.
But the reason I bring this up...
Hold on. So at that point, I would imagine that I call a therapist. And I was like, hey, man, whatever your rate is, double it, because you're in for a ride. We'll be there at 3 o'clock.
You have we're at a very, very interesting point in history in which sometimes things become so common and so standard we even forget that they were ever a controversy or a thing that could we do. In what was it? We had the movie The Sixth Day came out in like the year 2000, right? And remember, like, part of that was the premise of Repet, where they would clone your pet and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now pet cloning is a real thing. And do you know how long we've been cloning pets for?
I want to say I first read about this 10 years ago. I didn't know it was actually being done, though.
Mm-hmm. It was 2001 was a tabby white domestic short hair cat, first cat to be cloned. Since then, it's become an industry. It's not a hugely talked about thing, but it is a real thing where you can bring the DNA of your pet and they will bring it. They will clone it.
So do they use the same method as like Dolly the sheep or?
I mean, these methods have been improving and have been getting better and better. Now you
time out. Bryce brought it up on the big screen here. There's a myfriendagain.com. If you go there, you scroll down and the first thing it says is warning. Do not place your dog in the freezer. If you do, there will be zero chance of cloning your dog. You must wrap your dog's entire body in, and they don't even apostrophize dogs correctly, in wet bathing towels and place it in the refrigerator. I think that's, is that misspelled? Yeah.
Yeah, it should not have a D in it.
Keep it cool. Okay, look, if they can't spell the word, here's my policy. If they can't spell the word refrigerator, they can't bring my best friend back from the dead.
Well, okay, sure. And Picasso couldn't program an iPhone app, okay? Like, we can nitpick and nitpick and nitpick. They're making miracles, Brian, whatever. They don't have time to hit spell check.
Yeah, you're looking down at the corpse of your wife, and you've got the brochure in your hand, and you see a misplaced apostrophe.
Like, oh, I don't know about that Oxford comma.
Okay, all right, let's
go. You know what? I'm going to jail for this.
Can we go back to this website? Because if you look, they've got ads for their own service on their own website. I don't trust anything about this.
They all look like sneakers.
Yes. And it's like everything about this looks like they're about to also sell me a timeshare.
So $100K to clone your dog.
I don't believe
that's what it said.
And 6 months to a year. Your dog will be cloned in Seoul, Korea.
Once 5 days has passed, it will no longer be possible to clone your dog from the way that they do this, which is interesting.
So you have to get that dog. So the $100K is for them to like hop on the next flight out to Seoul.
Hold on. Time out one more time. In the FAQs, they have a section here. If you look to the left, it says, my dog is still alive. If you scroll up to the menu over there on the left, what do you do if your dog is still alive? It is best to preserve your cells of your dog before he or she has died. Once a dog has died, its tissue will begin to deteriorate quickly. Once 5 days has passed, it will no longer be possible to clone your dog. I strongly recommend saving your dog's cells while he or she is still self.
Oh, read. Go down to the note. Go down to the note. Read this.
Note. I recommend consulting with your vet before placing your dog under anesthesia. You don't say. You don't say.
Is there a home kit?
I don't. Okay. What? Okay. What is happening? This is like an artifact. I swear. I want to believe this is like viral marketing for something.
This certainly has been. I remember when we were doing weirdthings.tv, there was a controversy about a cloned animal, right? About whether or not it was indeed legit.
Well, and there has been cloned beef.
Specifically in Korea.
Like there was a Wired article talking about the fact that cloned beef is a thing and you've already eaten it. And it talked about how, like, per FDA, like, first generation clones.
Snuppy. That's what it was. Snuppy, the cloned puppy. 2005, there was a controversy against the doctor who led the procedure, Dr. Huang. Dr. Huang was accused of a series of misconducts. The first allegation related to his work prior to Snuppy. The charges alleged that Huang paid for egg donations and that some of the eggs came from his employees, which constitutes a serious breach of the code of bioethics. It was later found that photographs he published did not depict what was suggested in most of the stem cell lines he claimed to have created were not clones at all. This brought serious doubt into the validity of Snuppy, which Huang consistently claimed to be a genuine clone. Huang hired Human Pass Inc., a Korean DNA lab, to investigate Snuppy, who found that Snuppy was authentic. The findings by Human Pass were dismissed on the grounds that they were employed by Huang and a panel at the Seoul National University, which is where Snuppy gets its name, ordered their own investigation. The investigation that found, despite his fabrications on previous projects, Huang's research related to Snuppy was accurate, and Snuppy was indeed a clone of the adult Afghan hound. As a result of his forgeries, Huang was indicted for fraud and dismissed from the university.
Want to hear where it gets better?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but now we know you can clone them, but he fudges results and some of the techniques, things like that. But we now know that you can do this.
Yeah.
Supporters of Huang founded a company called Sohn Biotech, the website we were just on.
No. Wait,
my friend again?
Yep. I believe that's it.
What?
Oh, my God. That's amazing. So we found the lineage of all this. Snuppy.
All right, can I say for the record
that if our Patreon gets to $100,000, we will clone sneakers.
Yeah, oh jeez. That's a 13-year sentence you're handing me. Sneakers is not my favorite dog I've ever had.
I want you to look at clone updates
on the my friend again?
Yeah, yeah. Clone updates. Oh, here we go. Right there on the wow.
So this is a picture of a newborn clone born March 2013. We got December 2012.
They do all look like sneakers, son of a biscuit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, is I think it's I don't think I'm talking out of turn to say that it's fairly well established that dogs' personalities are more hardwired than human personalities. We tend to be, you know, we're not quite tabula rasa, the blank slate that everyone likes to pretend we are. But in general, certain dogs have behaviors that, you know, mm-hmm. they want to herd or they want to fetch or they want to tug or they want to bite. So in that regard, I would almost feel like for some reason getting your pet cloned seems far more ethical and less tricky to me. It's like, yeah, dude, that was a fun game. I'll play it again. Yeah, it'll be different this time because I'll make different decisions, but it's the same software.
I just agree, but so like we showed this adorable looking fuzzy dog called like Bubbles, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine that Bubbles is in the backyard and smells something and starts scratching at the dirt.
Oh, good God! Oh, stop! No, God, no, what's in the box?
And then Bubbles thinks like, no, it's a dog, and Bubbles like it still feel familiar. Bubbles smells something else. Another part of the yard, digs it up, and there's another bubble.
I mean,
part of the yard.
I am not terribly. Bubble. I'm not terribly upset by this existential dilemma. I'm not terribly worried.
You're
about
not
it.
Bubbles, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I am not.
Let's bring this to one final bizarre twisting scenario. Brian, you are a father to three girls, and you have a lovely family in Austin, Texas. You certainly, like any family, have a budget of what you will spend on and what you won't spend on. Kepler, your puppy, has become a very fast hit in the household. It litters all of your family's social media and I'm sure brings great joy to the girls. At what point, price-wise, from your friend again, is it worth it to put Kepler on retainer? For, you know, just to send those cells just in case Something happens, and within, by next Christmas, Kepler can be back.
Man, I'd hate to admit it, but if you asked me 10 years ago, I'd give this a lot of thought, and I'd come up with an actual number or whatever. But 10 years down the road, I'm just like, $0. They're all the same. Just get another dog. It's fine. You'll fall in love with that one just like you did the last one and the one before it.
All right. And you can walk off that lot. But let me just say that I've been invested by my managers at yourfriendagain.com. We can. It's funny that you mentioned that you were hesitating because they got to talking, and because they're a huge fan of The Modern Rogue, available new episodes on youtube.com/scamschool, they want to make you an offer that they will put everything all together. You don't got to send a body or nothing. It'll just send us the email, $3,000.
Listen, it's been a lot of work with Kepler so far, and maybe now's not the best time to give me the sales pitch. Tell you what, come back in 2 or 3 years after we're a little more invested and we haven't thought about how difficult the potty training process has been. Maybe we could talk.
Okay, I mean, and just... So I also, this is my bad, I forgot to let you know that you could also use promo code WEIRDTHINGS at your checkout, and we could knock this down to $2,000. Puppy on demand.
I mean, again, look, he's a fine puppy. He's going to be a great dog that I will love dearly. But right now, it's a lot of work. If I was going to go,
How about this? $500. Just literally give me $500.
I mean, maybe this isn't my place, but it seems like you're a little bit desperate at this point of the sales pitch.
Just trying to figure it out, man. I got a quota like anybody else. You know, I'm just trying to... All right, I'm desperate to keep my job here. They're very, very stern.
All right, fine. You got me. For $500, I'll preserve the option to renew my subscription to Kepler.
Gentlemen, do we have time for one reader submission?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Before we do that, let's go ahead and remind everybody that patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can support this show. Listen, if Brian's not eager to clone Kepler, then he is really not eager to clone Sneakers. We need to put it officially on the page that if we get to, so what would it be? Would it be $2,000 an episode?
Yeah, you know what? If we hit $3,000 an episode, I'll clone Sneakers. How about that?
Clone Sneakers. We will go to my friend again and we will clone Sneakers if we get to $3,000 an episode. Save that. Thank you to everybody who puts in money to this show. It really does mean a lot to us. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of fun stuff that is always happening around the show. This week was a really, really great week for that. And we thank you guys for giving us the time and purpose to do it. Thank you to everybody who supports us. And if you would like to join that team, patreon.com/weirdthings.
So I'm going to set this up. Justin, if you want to pull up the document Bryce sent us, and sure. I'll let you use your voice to announce this. So we put out a call last week because we got a really interesting story, and we suggested that how many ghost stories were actually pranks or things instigated by people and never revealed. How many times have people ran long cons, long pranks, and never fessed up to that? And we asked our listeners, does anybody have any stories related to that? And we got several replies to that. And we, y'all a bunch of devious bastards. I'm just going to say this.
All right. Do you want to start with Aaron here?
Yep.
I'm the perpetrator of numerous pranks at my former job that had my coworkers convinced was paranormal activity to this day. I never told them it was me. At the time, I was a nursing assistant and worked the night shift at a local nursing home. Shortly after being hired, my coworkers had begun to try and scare me with ghost stories. I'm someone that doesn't believe in ghosts, but having a twisted sense of humor and now aware that they did begin the pranks, playing pranks on me, that I began playing pranks on them. From moving furniture, opening dresser drawers, turning on water faucets or televisions in empty rooms where patients had recently died, I had them convinced that the rooms of former residents were former residents were still around. While no longer working there, one of my friends recently got hired and has begun hearing the ghost stories from my former coworkers that were my pranks, which they still believe to be real ghostly occurrences.
All right, I'm gonna you read right through that really fast. There are some gems in there. I'm gonna go highlight.
in case you made this, all right? From moving furniture, opening dresser drawers, turning on water faucets or televisions, empty rooms where patients had recently died.
Oh.
That's, I'll tell you what, man. That's every piece of the buffalo. Like, if you're going to be an epic prankster, like, you use the world around you to the fullest extent. That is epic.
I mean, put any one of us in that scenario. And if we're assuming we're working with people who we don't think are pranksters, you walk into, you know, Mr. Jurgensen's room, who passed away in the middle of the night, was a cranky old man, and all the drawers are open, the cabinets are open, the bed's spun around. And as far as you know, nobody's been on that shift. I'm sorry. I'm freaked out.
Oh, God. No. This is super terrifying. There's no reason why these aren't incredibly convincing pranks. Like, and no, Aaron, big ups to you, because you are terrifying as a human being. But at the same time, I can definitely see part of me is also judging some of the other people here, because, like, they're definitely... has to be, if you are around death, right? And I found this more so when I was a reporter. When you report on crime, right, you tend to have a bit of a dark sense of humor because you are just surrounded by kind of terrible elements of humanity all the time. I can only imagine that people who work at nursing homes have to have a hardened sense of this. And although it is certainly very believable that they would be freaked out by a very effective prank, there has to be at least a thought that somebody pranked them, right?
Well, I don't think there is. I think that's part of the reason that it's the reason that UFO stories never consider, like, you know, you see an object in the sky and it does things that you've never seen before, and you consider natural phenomenon, you think of a bunch of stuff, but then you don't think of things that you would never think to imagine. Like, you would, it never would occur to you that the military would drop a bunch of mannequin bodies from the sky just to test and see what happens to them when they fall from really far. Or you wouldn't think that they would drop a bunch of random flares over the mountains just to test that as a light source deployment or whatever.
You
don't think your coworkers are going to intentionally mess with you, because that's your buddy. That's who you hang out with.
I have a friend who is like, he'll send me videos on YouTube. What about this? And it's like flares and stuff like that. He's like, why are they doing that? I'm like, are you asking me to explain why the military does silly things? Or are you asking me to, you know, just, you know, are you trying to prove that these are aliens?
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. It's like the one does not lead from the other. And yes, well, similar to what's the ghost ship, the something Marie or whatever, where it's
Mary Celeste.
The Mary Celeste. Yes, one explanation on the table is a transdimensional portal that sucked up all the human bodies and went out there. Another one, yes, it's very unlikely, but at least it's possible. The idea that somebody shouts "child overboard" and everybody hops out into the lifeboats and they're paddling around looking, and in the fog they lose track of the ship, and the ship sails off and then gets discovered later totally empty. Yes, that is far-fetched, but not as far-fetched as a transdimensional portal leading to another dimension.
Well, we have another story here, and I put a little break in there. So
yeah, here I got the stage note here. So this is a email from Charlie. Charlie writes, about a year before I got married, I was alone in my house one evening and settled in to watch some TV. It was dark outside and also very dark inside the house, except for the glow of the television. I heard the click of a light switch from the hallway behind me and to my left. Simultaneously, I saw the hall light in my peripheral vision come on. It was the first time I was paralyzed with fear.
Brian, have you read ahead on this, or do you know what's
going
on?
No, I have no idea.
So here you have not just a light flickering. You can be like, the filament bulb is broken. You know, there could be something there. If all the other electric works and your light's flickering, it's usually bulb related. But here they hear the sound of the light switch. And the light is flickering.
I mean, it sounds like there's definitely a person around, right?
Nope. Nobody is home.
Okay. Well, so where does it go from here?
We have an explanation.
I would love to hear it, because my rational mind is not coming up with anything that seems very plausible just yet.
All right. Charlie finishes, I recovered and managed to turn around with my heart pounding and saw my cat jumping up and batting at the light switch. I had just adopted the cat about a month earlier, and she had never done this before.
As far as you know, my guess is that cat's been batting the light switch every time you guys go out for pizza. Again, that's one of those things where it's like, it's silly, but that doesn't make it impossible, right?
Well, I mean,
exactly.
It shows you how much of our own life we kind of have on rails, right? Mm-hmm. Like that there's a reason why we are pattern recognizing machines, is because once we recognize the patterns, we now no longer have to analyze them. Like, we always want to have them. And so, like, he sits down and now something that breaks that pattern happens. It's shocking, you know? Like, it is the recognizing or interruption of patterns is like 90% of all humanity and civilization.
There's sometimes things where you don't want to see the you would rather believe the supernatural explanation, and I'm going to send something to Bryce for us for this, because it's that those are the stories that we love the most, I think, are ones where you'd rather it be a ghost, you would rather it be that than the thing that it actually is. We've had a few of those stories like that where all of a sudden you're like, nope, I would prefer that it was ghosts. I would prefer that those things are real. And I think that's part of kind of the heart of what we like as stories here sometimes, where you have those weird sort of twists and stuff. Because I think for us, you know, supernatural stuff is fun, but the real world is even scarier and freakier. And I don't think we did this thing. I just sent to Bryce to do a quick Google. It's horrifying. It's one of the scariest things I've ever seen. All right. Brett, are you watching this?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
So watching a door.
See two doors. Oh God, this is, yeah. That anaconda letting itself in, or the albino. What is that?
Big ass snake that knows how to undo a doorknob and lights up. Oh my God.
Dude, one of my best buddies in college lived in an apartment complex. And if you went to college and lived in an apartment, or had friends who lived in an apartment, oftentimes it's filled with all kinds of curious characters. One of them had a snake like this that escaped. And, you know, they were like, hey, you ain't seen my snake around, have you? No, I ain't seen it. They, at the end of the semester, at the end of the year, move out, and they move the bed. And under the bed is a big brown streak from what they assume was the snake living underneath one of their beds.
Oh, jeez.
Good God.
Oh, jeez. I sent one more to Bryce, like this sort of thing. Yeah, there was we've talked about this before. There was a case in Florida where people reported hearing in the middle of the night screams coming from a house, like these shrill, shrill screams. People knock on the door, people there are like, yeah, we hear them. We don't know what's coming from. You know, like, nobody's being murdered here. And so somebody decides to go investigate underneath the house, and they find a bunch of dead raccoon bodies and a giant boa or python. The longest python at that point ever discovered in Florida. And it was grabbing like raccoons in the middle of the night and pulling them underneath the house and devouring them alive. And that was the sound they heard.
Wow.
So check this video out. We're watching. Tell us what we're seeing.
This is an alligator stalking in front of a home that has a golf cart parked in front of it.
Because Florida.
Yeah. South Carolina.
The alligator is now, oh my God, it was up and ringing the doorbell?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it. It looked like it was standing on its hind legs and ringing the doorbell.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
By the way, it just looks like, because both the snake and the alligator just look like, once they get up to those heights, they can't sustain themselves. So they just look like they are drunks who are trying to get home and failing at the final yard line, right? Like they just, whatever, flop.
Dude, that is terrifying.
So, you, Brian, you answer the door.
Okay, first of all, I have the good sense to look through the window and who's calling before I answer the door. But let's say
you
don't
see anybody because you're not looking down.
Oh, dude, that's the thing is how fast, like, you open that door, you're like, there's nobody there. Oh, those darn kids. Let me see if I can spot them. You open the door, you're staring at an alligator. How long does it take to, like, at that point, everything's got to go, like, super slow motion as you process, like, oh, crap, it's an alligator. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Did you see the case, the guy that threw the alligator through the drive-thru window?
Drive-thru window of what?
Yeah, no, this was a big Florida story. I believe it was somewhere in, I don't know where it was in Florida. But yeah, they, well, here, well, we can just play the CNN.
Stupid prank that he did that's now turning into this.
And you believe, stupid. You definitely believe this was a prank?
Oh, 100%, because he's a prankster. He does stuff like this because he thinks it's funny.
Ed and Linda James say their son Josh is harmless, but he's sitting in jail facing serious charges.
The charge against him is assault with a deadly weapon, intent to do less than murder.
I don't even get that. I don't know how that... I don't get it.
They're still waiting to get the details from their son directly, but they say Josh knew one of the employees working at this Wendy's.
Was somebody at Wendy's that they were pranking?
Do you think, though, that the people at Wendy's think it was a prank?
Well, I mean, how could you not think something
There's
like that?
There's video of the actual thing.
Wendy's won't really comment on the 3.5-foot alligator seen here hurled through the drive-thru window. But Florida Fish and Wildlife was far from amused. They used a credit card receipt from a soda James purchased prior to the October incident and tracked him down in December.
Man, this is just making me hungry for Wendy's.
I had Wendy's today for lunch. I'm very there's high. Actually, as you can see, video up. That's what I wanted to say, because the reaction of... Let me send this to Bryce.
Yeah, I thought it would be in here.
The reaction, because you talk about how would you react, and the gal working the drive-thru, it's like... All she knows is something goes whizzing past, and it's like, what's that? And then, you know, and the prank defense is not really a good defense. Let me just point that out. There's not a lot of, you know, court precedent for, hey, guys, I was just funning. Watch this. You're watching the drive-thru.
All right, so yeah, we're seeing that one frame per second thing that they do. Somebody leans over, they hand over a looks like a Biggie Diet Coke with light ice, and the person is leaning forward. They seem perfectly engaged with each other, and then he leans over.
Oh no!
Like the guy's like having a conversation.
Boom. He just throws it in and leaves.
Oh, it was so fast that you don't even see it. Oh, but you see her reacting.
Dude, that dude's just an asshole.
Yes.
Although she is grinning, so it's making her happy.
She is made of stronger stuff than I am.
You can tell she's contemplating just hopping out of the drive-thru
yeah,
window.
Yes, oh, indeed. No, and she does.
Oh, my God.
Quick thinking.
Yeah, that's a sharp customer
there
right there.
There's nothing about this story that wasn't like my favorite elements of Florida. Because like, I love that, like, the story wound up becoming about the parents, like, saying, like, making loud protestations that this was a miscarriage of justice, that their son was being prosecuted for what was very obviously a harmless prank. Like, hey, listen, Iowa, it might have been a bushel of corn, right? You know, in Ireland, it might have been a sack of potatoes. It happened to be Florida, so it was a 3.5-foot alligator.
So, you got any picks?
Yeah. I've got a pick. I kind of really dug Civil War, right? You know, and yeah. I'm like, man, Civil War is a good movie. Really like the Civil War. And like, I want more Marvel. Let me go back and watch another Marvel movie. So I went back and I watched Ant-Man again. And I'm going to double down on Ant-Man as just being a fun, fun movie.
Dude, what's funny is I found myself talking to Bonnie about Ant-Man. She was really upset that, like, I think Ant-Man is the only of the Marvel movies that she hasn't seen. So therefore, every reference she didn't get in Civil War, because she watched it last night, waiting while Penny was out at a dance, she went and watched it, and she was just like, any reference she didn't get, she decided must have been because she didn't see Ant-Man. And I'm like, no, I didn't get tons of references because I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and all that other stuff that they wedge in there. And you could tell they're like weird moments where I'm like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to get
that
this is a thing.
I don't think there are any S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter. I didn't catch any of those references because the MCU kind of pretends they don't exist.
Well, no. I mean, certainly the...
Peggy.
Yeah. Carter's funeral is...
But yeah, she's the character who
first Avenger and Winter Soldier
part of the first Captain America movie.
Sure. Okay. Well, what was the significance? Because it was definitely like super heavy on like, oh, I'm this blonde chick who she was my aunt. Me? Huh?
Yeah. She was from Winter Soldier. Yeah. She was the nurse down the hall that was watching Steve Rogers.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys just knew that?
Yeah, because we watched Winter Soldier.
No. Hold on. You're telling me you didn't read... There's no way. I mean, I watched Winter Soldier 2. I didn't pick that up. Whatever.
She was the whole spy Fury put in to watch him as his apartment.
I believe you.
Like, maybe we should go on a date and you realize this. It's all right.
Yeah, no, I believe you. And maybe watching him side by side, I would have gotten it. But Jesus Christ, that was two years ago.
It is hard, right? Because it does...
She's a minor character in a two-year-old movie that I liked.
And a movie for which... wasn't even the last Captain America movie that, or a movie with Captain America in it that you saw, right? And
right.
They didn't mention it in that one, but yet, like anything else, it is both the next installment of the Marvel marching on story, right? And this, like, very close to it, like, you should watch Winter Soldier and then Civil War kind of thing. So like at the same time, it's like, no, watch Civil Winter Soldier right before this movie, and also watch all the other movies that have come between this and Civil War right before this movie.
But also don't forget everything you just saw in Winter Soldier, because this is a direct sequel to Winter Soldier, so you got to keep all that stuff fresh.
And also, I mean, like, listen, this is why the MCU has kind of cracked that code, is because that's exactly the same stuff that happens in the comics, right? As a comic book reader, you're like, oh, man, I don't really remember that. Maybe it was from this other thing. And it's like, well, clearly, if you remember the last time, it's like...
What? I was saying, with Emily Van Camp's character, she's never been in Peggy Carter, to my knowledge, or S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of that. She only existed in Winter Soldier. And then this. And so, yeah, it is hard. Like, I mean, like Game of Thrones, like, I'm like, I've seen every single episode and I'm still like, yeah, I better watch this coming, you know, what, you know, the previously on, because I need to know why everything's important. So there's a lot of threads to catch. But this like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Carter kind of like, they do a lot of homage to the movies and try to, this is how we fit in. But the movie part of it, they're really kind of like, yeah, we're doing our own thing. If you guys want to work on some storylines, that's fine. But we're not going to really try to pull anything from the television series into the movies. It goes the other way.
Right. Right on. Well,
so I loved Ant-Man. It's my point.
Yes. Well, and to that extent, I think Bonnie and I are going to rewatch Ant-Man, because I saw it, but Bonnie hadn't seen it yet. And mm-hmm. she was frustrated with it. Dude, I got a pick. It's a pick I experienced with Justin and Brett sitting around the table. And then I went home and I played it with Penny and Josie. And it was a blast, a freaking Space Team. It was awesome. It's a iOS app. It's free. You could download a bunch of, you know, aesthetic things for it if you feel like kicking them some cash. But the dynamic is, you basically, it's a little bit, it's reminiscent of Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, but in that there's an asymmetry of information. Everybody has their control panel in front of them, and they have to tell other people what they need to do on their pad to keep their ship from crashing. So it's and they have delightful names that remind you of like Rick and Morty and so on. So much fun. Space Team was great.
So basically, it is a techno babble game where you are always like, you have a set of levers and knobs and stuff, and you're just yelling what the command comes in on yours, hoping that somebody else who is listening to you has that on theirs and they hit it. And the more that everybody works together, the better you can clear the levels. And then there's also fun things like what you're watching right now is them trying to avoid an asteroid field. And it's really, 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 really fun. And especially it's like, you know, we played it while we were eating brunch, and it was just a blast. And I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Sweet.
Agreed. What about you, Justin? Got a pick?
So I watched one of a comedy special. In my life, there were two comedy specials that really, really defined my sense of humor. One of them was Dave Chappelle's Killing Them Softly. The other was Dana Carvey's Critics' Choice. I hadn't seen Critics' Choice in years, and rewatching it only kind of reaffirmed to me how much Dana Carvey, not only as a comic, really kind of nailed so much of what I think is relevant comedy now, both in being very earnest and, you know, there's a lot of just like straight up family stuff. I mean, like Louis C.K. gets a lot of credit for being, and rightfully so, for being the comic who did material about his kids that was like coarse and kind of ridiculous and, you know, almost like borderline mean, but sort of encapsulated this feeling of what it meant to be a parent in an authentic kind of way. Dana Carvey was doing, I mean, obviously Dana Carvey's nowhere near as caustic of a comic as Louis C.K. is, but was doing a lot of the same stuff, I mean, probably 8 years earlier. He's an incredibly talented impressionist, but it's so much of my favorite comedy. Best I can see to buy it is there is a Squatty Monkeys Tell No Lies, which is a two-disc set available on Amazon that has Critics' Choice on it, there, and as well as another stand-up special. But however you can get it, go ahead and get it. It's amazing and just kind of shows, I don't know. Dana Carvey to me has always been one of just a titanic human being.
Yeah, it's on YouTube right now and hasn't been pulled down. It's interesting, like what gets left up there and what doesn't.
Yeah. A full disclosure, I watched it illegally on YouTube. So, but you know, yeah, it's up there. It's been viewed, you know, over 100 million times.
134,000 on this version.
Sorry. I'm not good at numbers. It's viewed a lot.
I'm going to correct you. I'm like,
I'm an inner monologue, Andrew. I can't calculate those numbers.
Exactly. Oh, Squatty Monkeys is included with Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Right,
so go ahead and check it out. Super great.
Gentlemen, it's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.